Hello, and welcome to another installment of Podcast 360. I'm your moderator, Melinda Stevens, with Gastroenterology Consultant. With us today is Dr. Eva Sagethi, who is the Director of Behavioral Health with the Chief Medical and Scientific Office at University of Pittsburgh Medical Center in Pennsylvania. She is with us today to discuss the role and impact of cognitive behavioral therapy in the management of pediatric IBD. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Sagethi. How can cognitive behavioral therapy affect children with IBD, and how is CBT different for children versus adults with IBD?
So cognitive behavioral therapy is a learning-based behavioral intervention, and it operates under the assumption that mood, thoughts, and behaviors are connected, so that if somebody has a depressed mood or an anxious mood, that if you help them to change their behavior or help them reframe thoughts so that thoughts are more positive or at least more realistic when they're exaggeratedly negative, that will improve the mood. And with that improved mood, they will feel better. So in terms of children with IBD, and cognitive behavioral therapy has been studied as young as 7 or 8 and all the way through emerging adulthood, that cognitive behavioral therapy can teach children to control their behaviors, to be able to control their thinking, and not only to improve their mood, but we know that it can also help with reducing autonomic arousal, and it can also help reduce pain perception, all of these being the kinds of things that children with IBD struggle with. In terms of how CBT is different for children versus adults, it's the same principle that applies. It is just how it is delivered. So for young children, it helps to make it more playful, to have it in sort of a game format, to have it be something that there's some kind of positive reinforcement for coming to the sessions, and those sessions can be either face-to-face by video or even using the increasing number of digital behavioral apps that are available to facilitate teaching CBT. For adolescents, it's really having a coach or somebody that's really helping the adolescents understand the concepts and apply and practice them in their lives. The other major difference is that for children, and obviously the younger the child, the more this applies, helping the parents change their behavior, understand how they could be inadvertently supporting sick role behavior or not encouraging their child to be as active either in managing their IBD or being present in their lives. So that CBT for children with IBD has a parent guidance or parent training component as well.
What coping strategies can gastroenterologists enforce with their patients?
I think there are 3 different domains of coping strategies that gastroenterologists can enforce with their patients. The first is what I call locus of control. So if patients are stressed about something, so a child is stressed about having IBD, or another child is stressed about not being able to go to the sports event on the team that they play on because they're not feeling well, what a gastroenterologist can do is to help these kids identify what are the things they can control, and if there's something you can control, how can you change your behavior to get closer to what you wish? And then if there are areas that you cannot control, then how can you change your thinking so that whatever it is not getting you so distressed, does not have so much control over how you feel. So in the first scenario, having a diagnosis of IBD, that would be falling under the category of something you cannot control. So how can you change your thinking about it? And then for the inability to attend the sports activity, that would be something that is in the child's control, in that they can replace, especially just during periods of illness, they can replace that activity with other kinds of rewarding and enjoyable activities that they can handle and therefore, again, mitigate against negative mood. The second category is what I call autonomic nervous system retraining. So it's known that actually children and adults with IBD have sort of autonomic nervous system hyperarousal. And that's understandable because their body is constantly on the alert for another flare, for that hyperactivation of their immune system. So teaching patients relaxation techniques, and that can even be something as simple as helping them retrain their breathing. So the breathing to be slow, diaphragmatic breathing, thinking about something pleasant, saying the word calm to themselves every time they inhale and release every time they exhale. So at that level, you can actually condition, and really it's counter-condition the nervous system from a state of anxiety to a state of calm relaxation, which is much more enjoyable. Then the third and last but not least type of coping strategies that gastroenterologists can enforce in their patients is teaching them better ways to be responsible for the management of their IBD, of course, in age-appropriate ways, and helping them problem solve, so use better strategies when there are deficits. So for a young child, of course, it is expected that parents are involved in giving them the medications, getting refills about the medications, setting up the appointments with the gastroenterologist. But I think a concerted effort in having strategies to both assess a child's readiness to take over their care, and then as they're transitioning, I would say even in early teens, starting to build things that the patient can start being responsible for in managing their IBD.
What challenges arise when a pediatric clinic implements a cognitive behavioral therapy program for this patient population?
So the biggest challenge is actually finding therapists or coaches who specialize in cognitive behavioral therapy. So it is a modality that you have to learn. And again, it's the same model that I described earlier. It needs to have some kind of reinforcement of, is the child practicing these skills? And then there has to be some way of monitoring the progress that a child is making. And if children are not making progress, or adolescents for that matter, having a strategy to revisit what can change at the child level, is further parental reinforcement needed so that there can be success? I think the challenge also is, given that pediatric IBD is practiced across different settings, so there's private practices in the community, there's hospital-based clinic, there has to be a space to offer the therapy itself. So it has to be a private room. It helps if there's a comfortable chair there. It helps if it's a room where parent sessions can also be held, and that's just not always feasible. Now, another area that can be both a solution, but in some instances a challenge, is more and more cognitive behavioral therapy is available by telemedicine modalities, as well as digital apps that the kids can download and have access to then to practice right from their smartphones. That it's challenging to pay for these treatments, especially digitally. And depending on the type of mental health provider they have, either to facilitate the digital training or the face-to-face sessions, there are some types of providers that are easier to pay for than others. And social worker is one example. So there are instances when psychologists are needed in the most complicated cases, or when there's a need for other types of therapeutic modalities to be used. But a licensed social worker, for example, can do assessments, can bill for their work, again, especially in outpatient settings, and can really cover their salary in taking care of these patients.
What role does the gastroenterologist play in this treatment plan?
The gastroenterologist is seen in most settings as the team leader by patients. So that is the expert, that is the person perceived to have the most credibility. And so the gastroenterologist has a lot of power to help with messaging to the patients that following a cognitive behavioral therapy program, practicing it, can have a positive impact not only on the psychological symptoms, but actually can help to settle the gut or reduce the inflammation. This has been shown for cognitive behavioral therapy, for meditation behavioral approaches, and for teaching gut-focused hypnosis. All of these have shown some positive effect on the GI tract or the inflammation itself.
What is the key takeaway pediatric gastroenterologists need to know about cognitive behavioral therapy for patients with IBD?
I think the key takeaway is that cognitive behavioral therapy is common sense. And sometimes we get caught up in the semantics, and it is a big sounding term, cognitive behavioral therapy, but it really makes good sense for navigating life to have some sense of what you do or don't have control over and adjust your thinking and your behavior accordingly. To help patients develop confidence in their problem-solving abilities, both in life and with their IBD. And then last but not least, I think to help patients have a different relationship with their bodies. So not get as anxious, not get as distraught when they're having signals from their gut, but actually to reframe that isn't it wonderful that your gut is warning you that there's a problem so that you can let me know as a gastroenterologist and we can intervene before a small problem becomes a big one that might require hospitalizations or even surgery.
Thank you again for joining us today, Dr. Sagathi.
My pleasure.